please visit our website at www.ymsite.com. That's www.ymsite.com to learn more about our organization, Young Muslims, and its activities. For a complete listing of our products, please visit our online store at www.ymsite.biz. That's www.ymsite.biz.
نسأل أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له نسأل أن محمد عبده ورسوله أما بعد brothers we thank you to Allah to be here inshallah according to this society and not too long from now in the new year when we write in our books in year 205 and I think for us some words to say inshallah I'm not going to speak long at all We'll talk about a topic about really a hadith is going to reach, I believe, what you want me to talk about. Someone told me to remain strong or to be strong in both good times and bad times. I'm not going to change the topic, not so much change it, but to give one hadith of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, because in this time in which we're living right now, we're in desperate need of guidance from Quran and Sunnah. Desperate need. In the hadith of the Prophet, he says, Al-mu'minu qawiyyun khayrun. Wa habu ila Allah min al-mu'minu da'if wa fi kulli khayrun. A strong believer is better and more loved by Allah than a weak believer. You know, there's good in all of them. And today we're going to ask ourselves the question, how do we evaluate ourselves? A strong believer or a weak believer? You, in the mirror, when you look at yourself, how do you evaluate yourself, a strong believer or a weak believer? And the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said, even though there's good in all of them. Now, right now, what's on the mind of most people in the world?
The tsunami.
This devastating earthquake, actually underground in the water, has caused this great tidal wave. And, you know, every day we're going to get new figures about how many people died. Early this morning, there's 150,000. And by the end of the day, it's probably going to 180,000, maybe tomorrow 200,000, and so forth and so on. And definitely Allah got our attention. He got everybody's attention. Most of the victims, we believe, were Muslims. Indonesia was the hardest hit. And you know, Indonesia is the country, the largest Muslim country. In the south, that South Asian area, Thailand and Sri Lanka, and even India and some of the other countries, many of them are Muslims, some are not Muslims. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got our attention. And what are we to learn from this devastating experience? What are we to take from it? I think first of all, some lessons for Muslims, and it's going to have something to do with this topic of being a strong believer, weak believer. Allah mentions the Quran, this is a few ayats, number one. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, tabarakalladhi biyadihi al-mulk, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, alladhi khalaqa al-mauta wal hayata liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanu amala, wa huwa al-azizu al-ghafur. Blessed be in him, in whose hand is the dominion of the heavens and the earth. Allah created death and life to test us to see his best deeds. So the death over there in the East Asia or South Asia, the test is not just for the people there. I mean, you think about it, what happened? A lot of people died at one particular time. Allah mentioned the Quran, Muhammad Kennedy, Nafsan and Tamut, Nabi Ibn Kitab al-Mu'ajna. No soul can die except by the permission of Allah It's already written in the book. And when you look at it, and you heard about that devastating news, all those people dying there, what did you think of? What did you think of? When you looked up and beheld all those people dying in that area, what were your thoughts? What were your thoughts? The anger of Allah. This is an interesting point. Why would you say that? The anger of Allah.
Since, like, one thing that's been bothering me, there's 1 billion Muslims in the world, and like you said, Indonesia is the largest Muslim country, and all of us, and we haven't done 1% of what the Prophet and his 70 companions did in spreading the message. So, you know, that's basically maybe a wake up call that Allah has, you know, given us a sign. You know, you don't wake up, maybe you should just be replaced.
Could it be a judgment of Allah? Could it be? We're not sure, but it could be. I mean, see, we can't be sure because there's two things. We talk about something that Allah allows and something that Allah desires. And there's a sort of difference. For instance, if we say in the Quran, وَمَكِنَّ بِنَسْرَيْنْ تَمُوتَ إِلَىٰ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ كِتَابًا وَأَجْلًا, no soul can die except by the permission of Allah. It's already written in the book. So the question here is, did Allah bring it about as a result of the evil of the people, or did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply allow it to happen? Let's go to another verse of the Quran. Because the first thing that we have to recognize is that Allah permitted it to happen. Right? When you read the Quran, there are some things like people like the Thamud, the Ad people, whom Allah destroyed. It is clear that it's judgment. Because Allah mentions it. When you look at the destruction of Fir'aun, it's clear Allah brought it about. When you look at the destruction of the people they call them Sodom and Gomorrah, it was clear that was a judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But now you gotta be careful. If you make the pronouncement that this is as a result of the judgment of Allah, then we gotta be very careful, because I overheard brother the other day say, yeah man, Allah is angry at them. Look what Allah did to those people. Allah is angry, and I'm not sure I can make that statement. Me. I'm a little bit too careful, because I'm not sure that is the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It may in fact be a trial. Maybe Allah let it happen. But then when we take out on the position that this is the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is judging these Muslims for what they have done, then we gotta be careful. It may be a case of what Allah mentioned in the Quran, al-dhanna, fajtanibu qatila min al-dhanna, illa ba'da dhanna ithmun. Be careful of most cases of dhanna. What's dhanna? Dhanna, suspicion, speculation, assumptions. Be careful of that, because many of it is the same. So I think personally that we ought to put the judgment aspect aside and deal with the reality some people die. Now what do we get from that? One of the greatest plagues in the time of man is what they call the Black Plague. You familiar with the Black Plague? You know how many people died in that plague? 1/3 of the population in Europe, most of them were Christians. And did you know it's a historical fact that many Christians lost their faith as a result of the devastation of the Black Plague? Why? Because they said, how could God let that happen? So we don't want to fall into the same test. And I'm telling you, when you look at some Muslims, they're like devastated. Look, how could Allah do that? And then some people start to question their very, very faith. Because that's a devastating thing. I don't know about you, but I couldn't sleep. The day that it happened, actually, I was recovering from the flu. And I was watching over TV, you know, looking at the devastation. And I mean, I'll be honest with you, brother, I cried a number of nights. I don't know about you. I mean, I cried a number of nights looking at the devastation. You see, the thing you want to do is put yourself in their place. We are so comfortable right now. You know, and you know, we have our own petty complaints.
But when we look at our petty complaints or the complaints of what's going on over there, just think about this for a moment. There are many people right there, thousands of people that are missing right now. Thousands of people that's missing. How could you sleep not knowing where your mother is? Is she alive or not? Or your child, or your father, or your brother, or your sister, your husband, your wife? And so, and also not only that, but the future. What's going to happen? You know, how often in the middle of the night we wake up and go to the refrigerator and get a nice cold something to drink? Right? You take it for granted, don't you? Anytime you want to go get something cold to drink, get something, you know, go into microwave. Microwave generation, you. Shoot, man. Yeah, you got it. And you take that stuff and you know, but you think about them. There are people right now, brother, over there in South Asia. You know what they're doing? They're waiting, brother, for a plane to come and give them some water to drink. Because if they drink that water there, they may die. You know, I was at, who was at Westbury today? Yeah. Remember Westbury, we were talking about the sin of Adam and how Adam and his wife, our mother, when they committed sin, Allah evicted them from Jannah. Actually, think about this, man. Think about this. One instant like that, people lost their lives. People lost their property. Their homes are gone. I mean, they came back and there's no home. Now, what you do right now is think about your house, the house that you live in, the apartment that you live in that you're complaining about, or the house that you live in not big enough that you got some attitude about something. Think about that right now. And think about next week, how many of you are in school now? Most of you, January, you go back to school? January, February, go back to school? Imagine the school that you go to is not there. Now, I'm mostly young, and you know, only a few of you got, a few of you work. How many of you work? Yes, listen, a lot of labor. But imagine you going back when you ain't got no house, ain't got no job, because the job is gone, ain't got no food, ain't got no water, any of that. Now, I was thinking that, these Muslims that are in that position now, what do you think they're looking for right now? That's what I mean. Let's put the cliches aside. I mean, that's a given that they want Allah. That's given. And all of that, the faith and all of that. But what? Beyond that, what is it that they're looking for right now, what do you think? What are you looking for? Yes. Okay, reason why it happened. What else? Relief! They're looking for relief, aren't they? Do you, I'm just asking a question. Do you think they care who it's coming from? I doubt it. I think when those truckloads of water come in, they're so thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't think they're thinking, well, is this from the Muslims? It's not from the Muslims, I don't want it. I don't think. The best of Muslims, I don't think, is doing that. And so it brings me to my point. This is the very point that I want to make tonight. You know, brothers, this thing is real. This thing is real. It's not no club thing, it's no fake little thing. You know, we sit around there and talk about it. You know, we talk about these training sessions to show the reality of it and then get on the field to see the reality of it. I'm going to share something that happened a few years ago to make my point, and then I'm going to make some concluding remarks. I'm not sure how real this deen is. One night, it was Wednesday night. This had to be, I would say, 1986. Musa, I don't know if you were born yet. Oh, you're 4 years old. And we were at Master Taco. We had been established for a few years. We started in 1981. And, you know, usually, you know when I start my khutbah for the next week? You know when I start preparing for it? Yom al-Jum'ah, when I say, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, I'm beginning to make preparation for the next khutbah, for next week. So during the week, I'm gathering information, doing my research, and, you know, jotting down ayats of Quran and hadith. And I made in my mind that week, you're not sleeping on my brother? You're not sleeping on me? You sure? I don't play sleep. You ever told him that? I don't play that? You told him? You did tell, you didn't know. You didn't tell him. But can I get a cup of water? You know what the water's for, right? No, he knows. Well, anyway, so I had decided what I wanted to do the khutbah about. And there's a beautiful ayah in the Quran, Surah Al-Ma'idah. Beautiful ayah. Ayah, wa ta'awunu ala birri wa taqwa. Wa la ta'awunu ala ithmi wa udwan. Wa taqwa Allah ala ma shadid al-qab. Help ye one another in righteousness and the fear of Allah. And do not help one another in sin and enmity and fear Allah, Allah's swift and punishment. This was going to be my khutbah. So I wrote down some of the ayahs from the Quran, the hadith of the Prophet. Undur akhaka zalimun al-mabluma, help me Muslim brother. So that was going to be my khutbah. Thank you, brother. I'm going to help you. Inshallah, okay? So this Wednesday night, we had an aqiqah. One of our brothers, Brother Slim Abdul Sabor, and his wife Sakina, had a newborn baby, and we were celebrating that night, and we had a nice turnout at the masjid, and, you know, we were eating and things like that. Well, you know, at some point I was in my office and I was writing notes, and one of the brothers said that there's some brother has come to see me. And I let him in. We had never seen him before. He wasn't a member. I hate that word. Of Master of Taqwa. You know what I mean? Well, no, member of Master of Taqwa. You know what I mean? He wasn't one of these. Huh? Not that he wasn't down, but he wasn't like one of the regular people, you know, we see all the time, that kind of thing. And he was Arab. And he went on to tell me that Imam, he has a house. And he had been away for a couple of weeks. And some drug dealers took over his house. He took it up. And I feel you. You are from Queens? Okay, one of the trips you want to take in Brooklyn, right? There's some of the Queen brothers. There's some of the Queen brothers hang out. And I want you to take them to some of the spots in Brooklyn. They're not gonna make it. Most of us say you're not gonna make it. But I want you to, because I want you to see what's going on. See, Muhammad knows. Muhammad firsthand can tell you. That Muhammad been some places. Muhammad, what's the place that you and my son went to looking for those people? Marcy Project, man, that's serious. You don't go to Marcy Project, man, unless you seriously, you really got some talk for. You know, I'm serious, man. Marcy Project, what? Man, I grew up in the Marcy Project. They sat around the corner of a game called the Ellery, they called the Ellery Box or something like that. They had games, they sat around together. And either Muhammad was crazy, Majnoon, or something, but he actually went in the area looking for somebody. And I don't know, did you hear about it?
Yeah,
yes. Yeah, myself, man. Yeah, like, afterwards, I had to sit him down and kind of talk to him a little bit, right? But the point is, you got some very tough areas in Brooklyn. In this particular area, you had a lot of drug dealers. And I want you to imagine this. They took over his house, called the cops. A number of times, the cops could do nothing. And he was in my office that night, crying and say, Imam, can you help me? I made a decision that night. I was going to do one or two things. I either was going to help him, right? But we're supposed to help one another. That was going to be the title of my talk, right? Help you one another. I said, well, I test you, you know. See, I'm sitting in my office, help you one another, but I'm not going to go help me. Right? So I made a decision that night. Either I'm going to help him, or I'm not going to give this talk. Either I'm going to help him, but if I'm not going to help him, I'm not going to give this talk. See, I'm not going to stand up on the podium and say, yeah, help you want another righteousness, and here's a brother asking for my help and don't help him, and still give a khutbah. I don't know how to do that. And I, you know what I learned about Allah? That sometimes Allah tests you. Remember, we had a case of a young African-American boy who was chased by some white people years ago, Michael Griffith, I think his name was. And he was killed by a car. What area was that from? Not Bensonhurst. Not that one. That's something different. It was a place they call it, when you go down, No, not that one. When you go down Linden Boulevard, it's to the south of Linden Boulevard. So, and we're getting close to the Belt Poplar. Explain that area. In Brooklyn. But anyway, whatever that area is, became a very famous area. Now, the incident had just happened, like a couple of days before. And I'm riding my car in the Boulevard, right? And I'm passing that same area. And I'm saying to myself, well, why? If that was me, I ain't running from nobody. That's my attitude. I'm not running from you. And I'm telling you, I would get myself a wall and stand, put my back to a wall and say, come on, let's do it. Now, the moment I said that, my car stopped. Get it? You know what I'm saying? I'm talking, yeah, about me, man, that's true. I don't love man, too, man. Yeah, it reminds me of, you know, this guy, this comedian. We're talking about two black guys, right? They're riding down south. They're from the north, right? And so this white sheriff stops him. And so he goes to the driver and smack him in the head. Why are you smacking me in the head? Well, I don't want you to speed. Right? So then the passenger, he smacked him in the head too. Boom! He said, why are you smacking me in my head? I didn't do nothing. He said, I'm smacking you in the head because when I leave here, you're going to say to your friend, I wish you had smacked me in the head. So now I'm smacking you in the head. So it's like, I'm saying to myself, if that were me, I'd fight back. And the moment I did that, my car stopped. And immediately recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I said, Allah, I understand. And then I turned the car and the car started. Just as a lesson. So Allah teaches you different kinds of lessons. So now I'm in the masjid, planning my khutbah for Friday, helping one another in righteousness and the fear of Allah. And then immediately Allah sends me someone seeking my help. That night I got together with the brothers in the masjid, and I told them about what happened. I said, let's go. Let's do it. Let's help them. So what I did, I went home and put my work clothes on. What I mean by my work clothes? There you go. Took off my, you know, my holy garments. I'm talking about, man, because some stuff I see how you come, I know you ain't ready to fight. So you can't fight with that, you know, long, pretty little thing you got on. Right? So when it come time to fight, and then sometimes you gotta fight, and you gotta recognize that about Islam. We're very, very balanced, and we are not people that pick fights, but we know how to fight. Because all throughout the Quran, you can't deny this. وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ وَلَتَعْدَدُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُبْتَدِينَ. And fight in the way of Allah those who fight against you, but do not go beyond the boundaries. Allah loves not those who go beyond the boundaries. So that day, I went home, told my wife, I said, listen, Allah knows that I may not be coming home tonight. And we took about 30 brothers, and we went to that house, and I'll never forget it. And by the way, I didn't say to the brothers, listen, brothers, we gotta go there and get these people that took our brother's house. You all go, I'll wait here in the master, and you'll get there before. I didn't do that. And we had witnesses there to say that we were there together. I remember we went to the house, So I'm in Brooklyn, Memphis, Anderson, and I knocked on the door with a drug dealer's wife. And he said, "Who is it?" I said, "This is Imam Siraj, and we are the Muslims, and we're here to take back the property of our brother." I can hear in the background, on the other side of the door, one of the drug dealers saying, "It's the Muslims. Don't do anything stupid." And they opened the door, and we counted. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 drug dealers left the place. And these same drug dealers had the audacity to call the police on us. What's the lesson? The lesson is, if you're really going to help, you're really going to help, we're going to talk. When I look at the devastation in South Asia, and I look at the struggle of those Muslims, and now I'm looking at the response of the world, who's responding? And I'll be honest with you, brother, when the President Bush first opened his mouth and said he was going to give, I think, $15 million, I was insulted. I don't know about you, but I was insulted. How dare you? $15 million, so then he upped it to $35 million. Then I heard today they're up to $250 million. Alhamdulillah. And I'm pushing this government to even do more, because we can do more. So the world community is responding very well. I heard some report last night is up to $500 million, probably over $1 billion now. And people, they're saying sometimes people give in so much that some of the computers are crashing because people want to do something. And I think it's a good sign, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his ultimate wisdom, he's so wise, he allows things to happen that we may not understand it. We can't appreciate it. And I'm telling you this, brother, I'm at this point here. I'm coming to the conclusion, man, that this world, if there's no hereafter, this world don't make sense. There's no hereafter, this world doesn't even begin to make sense. Well, how does it make sense? How does it make sense? And when you look at that devastation in Asia right now, how does life make sense? You spend all your life, I read about this person who spent all their life, their life and their life savings to build a house, and I think Thailand or somewhere, and boom, one wave, it's gone. What's the sense of life, man? You live all your life, you go to school, and then you die. Develop relationships, and people die. And that makes no sense. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Allahumma la aisha illa aisha al-akhirah." Oh Allah, there's no life except the life of the hereafter. So for me, when you look at some of these people, I'm telling you, you may not be able to appreciate it now. You know that one of the signs of the last day is that people will be alive, and the fitna will be so strong that they would wish that they were in the grave. And they would envy the people who died before them. So it's difficult for us to judge what's going on, and that's why I talked about these people that died in South Asia. You don't want to necessarily call it the judgment of Allah, the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, necessarily. Maybe, but I'm saying not necessarily. But the fact of the matter is that we can pray for them and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them and to give them Jannah. And maybe as a result of what happened, that will be their ticket to Jannah, Allah Almighty. And then how do we respond to that? So I close with this, brothers. I close with giving you this hadith and ask you a couple of questions, and I close. Literally in a couple of hours, I'll be on the way to Austin, Texas. And this week, I'll spend a couple of minutes with you. Al-mu'minu qawiyyu khayrun wa habbu ila Allah min al-mu'mini da'i wa fi kulli khayrun. A strong believer is better and more loved by Allah than a weak believer. Question number one. Does Allah love a strong believer? Yes. Does Allah love a weak believer? Yes. Yes, yes, but he loved the strong believer better. And everyone, because the fact of the matter is that that person who's a weak believer has iman. He's got iman. It's not the highest level of iman, but he has iman. But the question is, what is, What do you mean by a strong believer? What's a strong believer to you? And the second is ask a few things that we go. What's a strong believer to you? Yes. Okay, brother, sister, read the Quran and pray 5 times a day. Okay, that's good. What else? Yes. Okay, Abu Bakr, good, a strong believer. What else? Definition of a strong believer. What's a strong believer to you? So what does the hadith mean to a strong believer? What does it mean? Simply read the Quran and pray 5 times a day? You say no, as if there's more. Again? Okay, good. That's a good summation. Yeah. What? Yes.
A brother or sister
asked, "Is aware of other cousins?" Mm-hmm. Tackle. Before I call you, let me talk about this for a second. A brother or sister who's aware of Allah's presence, that's tackle, right? It's called tackle. The person who has tackle is mutaqin. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. So that is the ones who have taqwa. You know what my wife taught me? The meaning of taqwa. She wasn't trying to do it, by the way. And one day she was telling me about when she was young. And when she told me, it struck me. I said, wow, that's taqwa. She was younger, a non-Muslim, and she had done something. And her mother said, when your father come home, I'm going to tell him. Right? When your father comes home, I'm going to tell him. My wife told me that her father never beat her. And she wasn't afraid that he was going to beat her. But what she did is she loved him so much, she didn't want to disappoint him. She said, when he came home, her name was Wanda then. And his mother told him what happened. And her father said, Wanda? And my wife said, she fainted. She fainted. Not afraid that he was going to beat her. He never beat her. But just afraid to disappoint her. That's the subhanAllah. When you think about the relationship with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, yeah, he says, "Inna a'malukum wa'inna atqakum wa'amalukum bila ana." He said, "I fear Allah and I know Allah more than any of you." So he has the most taqwa. This is what we believe, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had the most taqwa. And when I look at the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in his relationship with Allah, all that he did, he had a love affair with Allah the Almighty. And that's a real mutaqeen. A person that really, I mean, mashallah, akhi, you're embarrassed to do some things before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never do it. You can't do it. Because you love him that much, man. You can't do it. That's taqwa. And we have to re-examine ourselves to see if we have this thing called taqwa. But what is it also about a strong believer? You want to say? Well, he benefits, how do you mean by that? He benefits the people for help. What do you mean by that?
He either aids them or he...
He aids them. How might he aid them?
He either aids them with his wealth or sadaqah or maybe calling them to Islam or calling them to the Sunnah.
And all of the above. You see, and I'm glad someone said, who said Abu Bakr? See, you could have said Abu Bakr or Umar, or even a great Sahaba, right? But when you look at them, strong believer, subhanAllah. In what way? In every way. If it's required money, they give the money. And you know, when some of the poor people came to the Prophet, the lady salatu wasalam, and he exhorted his Sahaba to give sadaqah. And they gave sadaqah. They have the ability to do. They don't make excuses. They have the ability to do. You know, I was very pleasantly surprised today, you know, the brother Khan from Islamic Center of Long Island. What's his name? Farooq. He said, Imam, that's a good news. Toward the end of the program, they got a program today that began after Juma. He said he raised, and they gave all the money to the relief work in South Asia, right? And he said he raised $14,000 today. Now, see, I want to put it in context. So I said, well, how much do you usually raise on Juma? $1,000 or $2,000. So $14,000 for Juma prayer went for the victims in South Asia. You see, now we're going to be tested in everything. It's not just rapping. We're not saying we believe, but we're going to be tested in everything we do, even like jihad, if you said that. So, brothers, let us pray. God bless you. I think this is not new for you. I think you probably do this every week, every weekend, or every month, or something like this. Mm-hmm. How often do you have
This is one of our yearly events.
This is a yearly event?
Okay.
Allahu Akbar. Well, we have continuous overnights and small groups of people. Okay. But I want to say that may Allah bless you to continue this and continue. And I was overhearing your conversation earlier, and I want to just agree with what Musa said. I think it's important. And one of the brothers, I think it was you, which is very critical, that you see, when you have soul shoes isn't a substitute. And in other words, in the soul shoe itself is teaching and learning. You do it right. I mean, you can play basketball and still get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I believe that, by the way. So that don't underestimate the value of having these social events. You know, having times of ta'aleem and learning and studying, and that's good, but you have to take time to have social events, because if you look at Sahaba, the Prophet, they had social events. They wrestled, and they did the archery, and they swam, and they did other things. So while we exercise in our minds, we also exercise in our bodies, and also developing this great love for one another. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, and keep on having these kinds of good events, and keep on evaluating them and seeing how effective that they are, and keep your love for one another and your love for the ummah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Before I go, anyone want to ask you a question, make a statement, anything that I said today, they want to add, ask a question, seek clarification? Now, what are you doing the rest of the night?
Two more speakers. And some discussion.
You should finish your time.
Fajr.
Allah Akbar. Must be some long speeches, man. Who speak? Who speak in this? Who got the two speakers?
Me and Abdul Latif is coming.
You know Amin Abdul Latif? Allah Akbar. When? What time?
11:30.
11:30? SubhanAllah. I'm going to tell him what you said. And who's the other one?
Brother Arif Hussain.
Huh?
Arif Hussain.
Arif Hussain? What time are you sleeping?
Now.
Right now?
No, he's up there.
He's waiting for me to get off it, right?
No.
No,
really set.
No, sir. Anyway, love you, brothers. And please remember the victims of the world of special South Asia. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Salaam alaikum.
Please visit our website at www.ymsite.com. That's www.ymsite.com to learn more about our organization, Young Muslims, and its activities. For a complete listing of our products, please visit our online store at www.ymsite.biz. That's www.ymsite.biz.